Proverbs chapter number 22, verse number 6. If you have a King James Bible, we're going to read together in unison. If you do not have a King James Bible, you don't have a Bible, ladies and gentlemen. So I suggest you getting a King James Bible, not a new King James. Get the old King James. Proverbs 22, verse number 6, let's read together in unison, shall we? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for church again this morning. Thank you for the folks that are here. Lord, you've been so good to us. Just the fact that we have salvation through the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the day that someone shared the gospel with us and we trusted you as our Savior to save our soul from hell, for paying all of our sin debt. Thank you, dear God, that one day we're going to see you face to face. And what a day that'll be, like the men just sang. And Lord, until then, help us to read this book. Help us to believe this book. Help us to obey this book to the best of our abilities. And Lord, I pray that you bless now the Holy Spirit of God. Speak to our hearts about this very important subject this morning. I pray, I hope this will be a help, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Proverbs 22, verse number 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This morning, we're going to have a Bible study, and it seems I'm saying that more and more as I preach. But this is not your typical sermon on a Sunday morning, and I usually teach and preach a series on children and training children, usually on Sunday nights or Wednesday evening Bible studies. But the Lord's really impressed upon me to preach this Bible study this morning, since not everyone comes back on Sunday night or attends Wednesday night Bible studies. And I believe this is important for everybody to hear, whether you agree with most of what I say or disagree with most of what I say. And for those of you who have been coming for years, most of what I'm going to say or planning to say is routine. You've heard most of this before, I'm sure. Those of you who have just been recently saved and baptized, this may come as a little bit of a shock to you this morning, unless you're reading your Bibles. Some of you this morning are teenagers. Some of you are single adults looking to get married. Some of you already have children, whether they're newborns or young children or teenagers or even young adults or married children with children. Now you have grandchildren. But whether they're whatever state of life you are in right now, I believe this will be important for you to listen to. Some of you have never had children, and some of you can never have biological children. Some of you may have been adopted, or some of you may adopt in the future, but regardless of where you're at right now, I believe everyone can listen and apply some of these truths, if not all of them, to family and friends and neighbors and loved ones who do have children and have no idea how to teach their children and train their children and to love their children. So I'm going to say a lot this morning. See how much I can get through here. But I promise that if you do what I say from the Word of God this morning, what you hear from God's Word, you will look back and thank God that you listened to the preacher this morning and that you are willing to obey the Word of God. Because this is Sunday morning, because it's a sort of a Bible study, sometimes these are recorded and sometimes these are not. If I were you, I'd pay attention this morning. So I'm going to start with the first word in Proverbs 22, verse number 6, train. It does not say raise. You raise corn and you raise hogs, but you train children. I know it bothers people when I say this, but it's too bad because people train their dogs better than they train their children. They feed their dogs better than they feed their children. Do you read the stuff that's in McDonald's hamburgers? Did you read that? Came out this last week? Huh? Do you read what's in the cereal? Huh? It is disgusting what parents are feeding their children. You don't even care about the health of your children. You're going to care about the spirituality of your children? They love their stupid dogs more than they love people. It is a sad testament that our society teaches and believes that man's best friend is a stupid animal. And that may be because too many Americans think more about their stupid dog than they do about the people that God has put in their lives. Some people's lives are all wrapped around their stupid dogs. The only thing more stupid than people's dogs are their cats. I would rather have a dog than a cat anytime, unless I want to start a Chinese restaurant. A friend of mine, I know it's terrible, but this is Baptist preaching, amen? A friend of mine, Pastor Bernice, he's now in heaven. He's passed away. He's a Filipino pastor. We were over a Christian brother's house one time, and the news was on. We were watching television, and they had just passed, for those of you who can remember, I don't know, 10, 12, 15 years ago, they just passed Buster's Law, you know, where something, if you hit a dog or kill a dog, you know, you go to jail now. You know, so they'll take your tax money to kill babies through Planned Parenthood, and you'll spend your money buying Girl Scout cookies that promote abortion and the sodomite lifestyle. But anyway, so we're watching the news there. There's three of us in the living room, and all of a sudden, Brother Bernice pipes up. He was just visiting the States for about 3-4 months, you know, trying to raise support for his ministry in the Philippines. And he says, he's a pastor. He said, you go to jail for killing a dog? And my friends say, yeah, Winnie, yeah, you go to jail for killing a dog. He said, in my country, we eat dogs. You know why? Because Americans are stupid, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I'm not saying you ought to eat dogs, but if you're hungry, eat a dog. Amen. Americans can now go to jail for killing a dog, a cat, a bird, an animal, because it is so evil in the eyes of the evolutionist socialists. But they want to take God's people money forcibly from them and give it to a baby-killing machine and kill babies in the womb of their own mothers. You're going to give an account for all those Girl Scout cookies you buy to support the abortion crowd and the sodomite crowd. You're going to stand before God one day. You're going to give an account. Instead of giving to missionaries, instead of giving to ministries or trying to get people saved from hell and away from that darkness, you spend your money for things that are not. Anyway, training means always keeping a schedule of consistent teaching and discipline to achieve the most and best out of an individual. Concert pianists practice 4 to 6 hours a day at a minimum to keep their fingers limber enough for the concert. People train their horses for horse shows and train their dogs for dog shows. They spend hours every day teaching and training their pets so they can win the first prize. It is a very regimented schedule, and every trainer is disciplined, and everything is done with precision because they want to win first prize. People have trained pigs because I've heard the pig is the farm animal's smartest animal, and it can be trained to do many tricks. And you know what most people do with their children? They plop their newborn down on a bed or a floor or a carriage and leave them there without ever interacting with them, never talk to them, never smile at them, never laugh at them. And that's why they, well, what's wrong with my child? My child's not progressing or growing. Then when they get older, they plop them down in front of a television so that the child soaks up every imaginable wicked thing that is put before their eyes by Satan, because their mother is too busy being online, too busy on Facebook, too busy on all kinds of social media. Then after they become more attached to their television, then their father or their mother buy them cell phones. And those children spend more time on their cell phones than with their own parents. Parents send their children to government public schools where they hate God and hate the Word of God and mock God's people. Then they come out of those public government schools not wanting to come to church, not wanting to live for God. And I hear parents say all the time, I don't understand what happened. Because you didn't train your children. And I understand all of us are different ages. Some of us are young. We don't have families yet. Some of us are grandparents, and we wish we could go back and fix some things. I understand that. I do understand that. But you ought to pay attention and listen so you can be a help to somebody else coming down the road. And what you ought to do is you ought to acknowledge your error and say, you know, I wish to God somebody had told me that 20 years ago or 30 years ago, or somebody showed me what the Bible said 40 years ago before I got married, before I had kids, before I met some jerk and started a family, before I married some witch and started a family. If you look in the original Hebrew and Greek of witch and jerk, it says Bill and Hillary in there. I don't know which is which, but it's in there. Yeah. So they come out wanting nothing to do with God. How much time did you spend reading the Bible with your children every single day? How much time did you spend praying with your children on your knees every single day? You didn't think it was important. How often did you bring your children to church on Sunday morning, on Sunday evening, and on Wednesday evening? You see, most people don't think it's important to do that. They thought their boys and their girls' softball games and their basketball games and their volleyball games and their football games and their soccer games and their hockey games and all kinds of other sports were more important than living for God, because their sports and their children are their God. So you're going to reap exactly what you sow. Before you think this is rough on you, I want you to know this is convicting on every person who loves God and realizes how much they've fallen short and that they wish they could go back and fix some things and have to live with regrets of not obeying the word of God. Some of us did it out of ignorance, and some of us did it out doing it presumptuously, knowing what God said, and we just went ahead and did it anyway. It's a sad testimony. We train our animals better than we train our children. Most children love Disney characters more than they love Jesus. Most children love their Disney books more than they love their Bible. Most children love their videos and cell phones and TVs more than they love praying to Jesus. Most children love their games and sports and themselves more than they love Jesus. I mean, every child is born with a clean slate, and the only reason they love what they love is because they were taught to love whatever it is that they love right now. Someone taught them that. Most parents are too lazy themselves to teach their children of a good work ethic. So the child learns from a lazy father and a lazy mother. Most parents are too full of themselves, and their children follow suit. Most parents disregard God and disregard the word of God. They were taught to disregard God. They were taught to disregard the word of God. I believe the television and the government public school system has destroyed more children than anything else I can think of. Too many parents have the television babysit their children for hours on end because you're just too busy. Too many people allow their children to sit in a government public school for 6 to 8 hours a day listening that we came from monkeys, that there is no God, that being a sodomite is a good thing, that the Bible is full of lies, and then their children are introduced to drugs and ungodly music and ungodly wicked world and ungodly friends that will damage their minds and damage their hearts and damage their bodies for the rest of their lives. And you're going to blame everybody else instead of you looking in the mirror and saying, I was the one that put them in that situation. I'm the one that put them in that setting there. I'm the one that let them listen to that junk. Most parents care more about their house and their car, what neighborhood they live in, and what kind of vacations they take, and their 401ks, and their retirements, and their investments, rather than how to train their children to do what is right. Training means discipline. It means correction. It means repetition. If you think this is tough, please don't come back tonight when it won't be on the record. You let your child talk back to you. Your child doesn't obey you the first time you tell that child to do something because you have trained your child not to obey you. Your child talks back to you, argues with you, rolls her eyes at you, sasses you, mocks you, laughs at you, ridicules you, because that is exactly how you trained that child to be. When you decided you didn't want to put up with a man telling you what to do and you followed the advice of some Jezebel social worker to fight your husband and ridicule your husband and nag your husband and leave your husband and disobey your husband and be your own woman to not have a man tell you what to do, then you trained your child not to have a father around and have a fatherless life, and you trained your child to think less of the child's only father in life, and you have put a void and an emptiness inside the heart and mind of that child. And because one or both parents are too spineless to spank their child every time that child needs a spanking, you let a doctor or a school nurse give them Ritalin or some other drug to dope them up so bad where they look and talk and act like a zombie. Right. Then they take other drugs and they take alcohol that they mix together, and then you wonder why your children's minds are all so messed up and why they snap and why they have so many socialist evolutionist theories. And while they have mental health issues, you train them that way. You think just because you come to church, it's going to be okay. No, you got to train children. It's not 1 or 2 hours a week is not going to suffice. Yeah. You keep your kids away from this kind of preaching because this is hate speech today, you know. This is the kind of hate speech they want to outlaw. They want these socialist evolutionists, they want your child to turn out that way because it's job security for them. They want your child to be untrained, undisciplined, unloved, not nourished, immature, ignorant, not learning eternal truths, so they can be led to the slaughter like sheep by the one world government do-gooders who hate this kind of preaching, so they can have jobs as correctional officers, have jobs as psychologists and psychiatrists, have jobs in government schools as nurses and counselors and teachers and professors and administrators. You're going to regret the day that you succumb to the pressure of your family and friends who try to intimidate you away from living for God and having your family live for God, as if that were a bad thing, ladies and gentlemen, as if it's a bad thing to come to God's house, as if it's a bad thing to read the Bible, as if it's a bad thing to pray. Train. That's only the first word in that verse. The next word is up. That means for God. That means for heaven, for righteousness, for holiness, for biblical principles. You set your affections on high. Jesus said our treasure ought to be in heaven. Our children should be taught from a young age to be concerned about the souls of mankind. Our children should be taught as early as possible about the only two destinations that await a person upon death, either heaven or hell. Children should be taught about the eternal damnation of the hellfire and the lake of fire, just like Jesus said. And children should be taught about how beautiful heaven is, where we will be with Jesus for all eternity in a place where there is no death, where there is no night, where there is no sin, where there is no darkness, no sickness, and no illness, and no handicaps, and no enemy, and no heartaches, and no burdens, and no temptations, and no Satan. But you let your kids watch horror movies, yeah, and then you wonder why they have nightmares, they can't go to sleep, because you taught them that way, you trained them that way. Children ought to be taught from an early age that Jesus one day will come through the clouds just like he promised and take us home to glory. My Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse number 11, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. So why is your child like that? Because that's how that child was trained. My Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 25, the fear of man bringeth a snare. You're afraid to do what's right. You're more afraid of CPS and DSS. You're more afraid of your relatives and your neighbors. You're more afraid of everybody else instead of God Almighty that you're going to give an account of the one who gave you those children. Spineless. I started preaching this way 27 and a half years ago, and I'm not changed just because you happened to walk in this morning. And I'm not changing this kind of church because you've been here for like 1 month or 2 months or 3 months. My Bible says in Proverbs 30, verse number 11 to 13, there is a generation that curseth their mother and doth not bless their mother. Curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. My Bible says in Proverbs 30, verse number 17, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagle shall eat it. Yeah, go ahead, disobey your mom and dad. Go ahead, mock them and laugh at them. Go ahead. You're looking at an early death, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, you parents don't want to spank your kids and discipline your kids. You got to tell them 5 or 10 times, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. And then when they disobey you, blatantly disobey you, you just fluff it off. My Bible says in Ecclesiastes 8, verse number 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. You know why we got a problem in America? Because everybody just slaps their hands. They slap their wrists. Now, don't do that again. Welfare cheats, steal thousands of dollars, show up in front of a court. And the judge says, now, don't do that again. So, well, not my little Johnny or my little Susie. Yeah. You're going to train your child to be a wild child that nobody can control until they get behind bars and in a jail cell someday. Yeah. The Bible says in Psalm 38, verse number 8, I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. You know why your children so loud? You know why they can't be controlled? That's what God said. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. There's something missing on the inside. It's disquiet, this roaring on the inside. That's why your child gets in trouble all the time. Psalm 58, verse number 3, the Bible says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. You know what? For 17 or 18 years, I can't remember exactly, I not one time had ever asked my children what they want or what their opinion was about anything. But you got a hole in your head when you got a 3 or 4 year old. What do you want to do? Well, what do you want to eat? Well, where do you want to go? Somebody ought to just slap you upside the head, man. You're just being led by children. That's what Isaiah said. Babes are our rulers and women rule over us. My Bible says in Psalm 127, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Happy is the man that his quiver is full of them. Doesn't say the woman's happy, says the man's happy, amen? But God does say to be fruitful, multiply. That's not 1.5 children. That's not 2.6 children. That's not 3.8 children. You know what? They teach in Bible colleges? That you shouldn't have children until you've been married for 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years and get financially stable. Please show me a Bible verse that says that. No, you know what they want? They want daddy to get a job, they want mommy to get a job, and they want to put your little child in a daycare center where some molester can molest your child. Then you're going to sue the daycare center because you put that child in front of that molester. You're going to get mad at everybody else because you wanted more money instead of training and teaching your child right. I'm trying to spare some lives here this morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm trying to spare some heartache this morning, ladies and gentlemen. God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth in Genesis 1:28. In case you missed that verse, he said in Genesis 9:7, and you, be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. I mean, we only had 6 children. Well, my wife had a few miscarriages and she just couldn't have any more children. I would have had 10, 15, 20 children, to be honest with you. One of the reasons my children ever listened to me is because I told them that we had 3 other children that I killed and buried in the backyard. They didn't listen to me. Yeah. The Bible says in Genesis 18, verses 17 to 19, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? He says, what God said about Abraham, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. You know what bothers me? That chancellors are more concerned about their college than they're concerned with what the Bible teaches. I'm concerned that pastors are more concerned about how much money comes in the coffers than the children of the people that sit in the pews, how they're being trained. My Bible says in Leviticus 19:3, ye shall fear every man his mother and his father. The reason your children don't fear you is because you train them that way. Up. That's the second word. Children ought to be taught from a very early age that Jesus will come again. The next two words, a child, a babe in a womb. I believe parents ought to start by eating right before a child is conceived. Most parents are oblivious to the importance of the father's diet and the mother's diet as the egg and seed are developed through the intake of the food and liquids that parent takes into their bodies. I might as well read it right now. Here's this. The soy also contained DNA. This is found in Kellogg's Fruit Loops. The soy contained DNA sequences known to be present in Roundup Ready. You know Roundup that kills bugs that you spray on your grass and weeds? The test documented the presence of glyphosate at 0.12 milligrams per kilogram. The main chemical ingredient of Monsanto's best-selling Roundup weed killer is in your Kellogg's Fruit Loops. But you feed that to your children. You know why? Because it's the cheapest thing that you can buy. Because you're too sick and lazy to get a second job to feed your kids right. Spiders. We're more concerned about our ministries and our churches than we're concerned about our children. Let the church and the ministry get flushed out of the toilet. Because without the children, there will be no ministry, there will be no churches.
Amen.
Spineless. Amen. the 19 ingredients in McDonald's fries, including a form of silicone found in silly putty. Go to McDonald's. Go to those fast foods because it's the cheapest place to go because you're too sleepy and lazy to get a second job to feed your family correctly. Silly putty. Why don't you get some silly putty? Have some breakfast. Go to the store and get some Roundup and just, pour it into the drink for them to drink breakfast. We're so far away from God, we don't realize it. A child, the baby in the womb, they don't care what they eat. They're gluttons. They eat poisonous artificial colors and artificial flavors, artificial preservatives, and they're all chemically based. They eat fast food because they like the taste of plastic food and sodas and sugar drinks that are detrimental to anyone and everyone who eats and drinks that kind of garbage. Most parents just laugh it off. It's no wonder why so many babies are born with health defects and in poor health. Dads and moms are smoking their cancer sticks like a factory chimney. They're smoking their weed. They're snorting their cocaine. They're shooting up their heroin. They're drinking their liquor and their booze and their wine and their beer as if it will not affect the egg or the seed prior to conception in the baby as it's growing in the womb. A newborn, a babe, a child, a toddler, a young child, a growing child, an adolescent, a teenager, a young adult, a married child with children. No matter how old my children get, they are still my children. I may not be able to force them to do anything anymore. I may not be able to discipline them anymore, but I can still teach them by what I believe and what I say and how I live. And I am not changing one bit for any of my children in the least. I don't care if they think I'm wrong. I don't care if they think they're right. I don't care if they cry and pout and throw a pity party. I'm not changing for anyone. I have a duty to teach and to train until the day I take my last breath, and I'm not budging for anyone. I just hope that God gives me more wisdom to teach knowledge properly so that more people will learn more about God and the Word of God. Don't look. In the way is the next three words. Don't look. You have to be there in person to see it. In the way, the Bible way, God's way, the Word of God, the way of righteousness, the way of holiness, the narrow way, the separated way, not the world's way, not the devil's way, not the ungodly way, the old-fashioned way, Bible-believing Baptist church. So many spineless parents leave a good old-fashioned church. You know why? Because their little monsters control the home. If it's not the nagging wife that rules her henpecked husband, then it's the children and the teenagers who pout and demand that they want to go to some place where they play religious rock, satanic rock and roll, and have worship leaders and worship groups and worship services and loud, booming, disgusting, clanging noise and electric guitars and African drums where you can't even make out what the words are in the songs. Where there's no old-fashioned preaching, there's no hellfire and damnation preaching, no loud Baptist preaching that convicts the sinner and wakes up people. Gone are the days of leather tongues and iron lungs and window rattling preaching. Gone are the days of shingle pulling and barnstorming preaching. Gone are the days of sinners falling under conviction because of their sin and their wickedness. You know, just like Isaiah says, women rule over them and babes rule over them. Men are a bunch of spineless, effeminate males today who have surrendered their roles as leaders, and they just might as well be castrated by the socialist, godless crowd of compromisers. Males don't want you to go to an old-fashioned Baptist church because they love their money and their pleasure and their sports more than God. They keep their family out of church because they would feel convicted if their families would go to church, but they didn't. So they have family time away from God's house and God's people and the preaching of the Word of God. And you're going to rue the day when your child turns out to be a sodomite. You're going to rue the day when your children marry heathen spouses. You're going to rue the day when your children die young needlessly because of your rebellion, your stubbornness, and your disobedience to the very commands of the Word of God. Brother, you're going to stand before a holy God at the judgment seat of Christ if you're saved, and you're going to give an account why you ruined and destroyed the family that God gave you, and you chose to disobey God. You chose your way, but not God's way. The next three words are, he should go. It's God's preordained way. It's God's destination for every person. It's God's way. God's predestined way. God's will for their life. The way of Jesus Christ. There is a way. God wants every child to go. There is a way that God wants everyone to go. God has laid out the way that you and I should go. Woe be unto that man that puts a stumbling block in front of a child. Jesus said, the merciful and kind, sweet, loving Jesus said, it would be better for a millstone to be hung around his neck and be cast into the depths of the sea than put a stumbling block in front of a child. Woe to parents who do not teach their children the word of God and what God says, but rather they allow the world and the devil to use them to destroy their hearts and their minds and damn their souls for all eternity. The way they should go is toward heaven and towards God. The way most are going today are toward hell and the way Satan wants them to go. The next five words. And when he is old, God blesses long life to those who honor their father and mother. God's curse is on those who disobey and mock their parents and disregard their teachings. Bible says 70 70 years old, it's a good old age. You want to live long and do something for God? You want to enjoy life and enjoy children and grandchildren? You want to be used in the service of God to see people getting saved and baptized? I do not know how long I have to live. I'm 57 years of age. I got saved when I was 21. But I'll tell you what, I'm grateful to God that God allowed me to live this long, especially when I consider my teenage years and how stupid I was and how reckless I was in certain areas. I read stories. I can't tell you how many stories I've read recently where young people have died at young ages. Like we heard last week, all the statistics I quoted. And those statistics of how young children and teenagers die. I like living. I like breathing, ladies and gentlemen. I enjoy life. I am looking forward to going to heaven. I'm looking forward to seeing my Jesus, my Savior. I've asked Jesus to be my Savior, amen. And once someone asks Jesus to be their Savior, they are saved forever. Once saved, always saved. Once you're a child of God, God does not kick you out of heaven. Your name is written in heaven, the Bible says. He's building a mansion in heaven, just like Jesus said in John 14. And the older I get, the more I love Jesus Christ. The older I get, the more I love the King James Bible. The older I get, the more I love old-fashioned hellfire and damnation preaching. The older I get, the more I love the old-time religion. The older I get, the more I enjoy seeing people getting saved and baptized like last week and the weeks before and coming to church. The older I get, the more I enjoy learning about God's knowledge and God's word and gaining godly wisdom. And the older you get, you ought to acquire more from God as the years go on. The older a Christian becomes, the more he is able to explain to the younger folks the dangers of the world's temptations and false religions like the false prophets of Joseph Smith and Muhammad, cursed be his name, and all the popes that have ever lived, and the Jehovah's false witnesses, and anyone who teaches and preaches and promotes speaking in tongues today, and anyone who teaches that Jesus is not God. The older I get, the more I realize how much the younger generation knows very little to nothing about history. About Christianity, about the Dark Ages, about the persecution by the Roman Church against God's people, about Hitler, about Communist China, about Communist Russia, about American history, about America's great founding fathers who stood for liberty and freedom against tyrants. The longer I live, the more I can spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost. The longer I get to live, the more I can share the history that is bound to be repeated to those who are ignorant of its lessons. Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Exodus 20, verse number 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Ephesians 6, 1 to 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. Jesus said in Matthew 15, verses 3 and 4, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Hear what Jesus said. Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. That's our honor killing right there. Mark 7, verse 9 to 13, Jesus said, and he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. Oh, it doesn't matter what they say. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. The next six words, in Proverbs 22:6? He will not depart from it. That means that if parents have done their duty when it comes to their children, then that child will not depart from the way it should go as that child grows and becomes an adult. It does not say that that child will return if it goes out of the way. That is not what that verse says. There are other verses in Scripture that speak about wayward children coming back, like the prodigal son, but this is not what that verse says, ladies and gentlemen. I better find the rest of my sermon. Well, Proverbs 22:6. When he is old, he will not depart from it. That does not mean, ladies and gentlemen, that when your child gets old, he'll come back. That means he'll never leave the right path. And so many people, God's people, have felt so convicted and felt like they've let down their children. They say, well, I'm trusting God's promises that my child will come back to God. Well, that's good to hope that and to pray for that. I'm not saying you shouldn't pray for that, but that's not what Proverbs 22:6 says. That means if you've done your job right and correctly, your child will not leave at all because we were just too busy doing too many other things for the ministry, for the church. Because that's what my, you know what? There's Baptist colleges that teach women how to paint their face and put fingernail polish on and toenail polish on. And so our mothers are teaching their children how to paint their faces like a bunch of whores are doing. You listen to me? But how many girls know, let me tell you, how many girls know how to sew and cook and clean and darn socks? How many boys know how to hunt and fish and skin and gut and kill an animal? We have let our children sit under socialist thinking who hate God and hate the Bible. And then we wonder, what is wrong with my child? What's wrong with my child? I can't tell you how many. I know some very good conservative people that sent their kids to a government public schools and they've turned out to be sodomites. Conservative families. They said, well, what's going on? Well, you let them sit there for 6 or 8, 10 hours. Preschool activities, during school activities, after school activities, sports before, sports after. And they're gone from the house 8 to 10 or 12 hours a day. You kiss them good morning, you kiss them good night. You say, what's wrong with my son? What's wrong with my daughter? Because you didn't train them. You're trying to raise them like farm animals or crops. Hey, my youngest is now 20 years old. But I've preached this for 27 and a half years, ladies and gentlemen. I've believed this for 27 and a half years. No, I've believed this more than that, but I've been preaching for 27 and a half years, almost 28 years. And you folks have been here for 15, 20, 25 years, you and I can name people one after another who got mad at the preacher, got mad at the preaching, and took their family out of church, and their family is ruined and destroyed because they thought I was... You know, they call me Hitler. You know, you're too straight. You're too old-fashioned. You're too narrow-minded. Yeah. Yeah. If you don't like this kind of preaching, don't come back tonight. Don't come back tonight. Don't come back tonight. Do not come back. It'll be no cell phones allowed tonight. Let's all stand, shall we? Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Please bless. I believe, dear God, this has been the curse that everybody has neglected to talk about for the last 20 or 30 years in our country. Pulpits are silent. They want more money instead of godly family and godly children. We have rowdy children. They can't be quiet. They can't sit still because we've taught them how not to sit still. They run around, break things, hurt people, beat up people, hit people. They're uncontrolled. And dear God, I pray, Lord, that you knock some sense into us this morning. Oh, dear God, please, I beg you, Lord, for our children today. May the parents get their hearts right and their minds right. And dear God, I pray for the people in this room that have children, going to have children, even grandparents that have some kind of influence on their children and grandchildren, I pray they wouldn't budge for this modern crowd of compromisers, and I pray they wouldn't budge for these religious people who don't believe the King James Bible and think we're just too narrow-minded. I pray, dear God, that we would believe Proverbs 22:6 exactly like it's written. Believe it and live it. Bless this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business with God. God's people praying, please.